I don't know if you all have your Song of Songs. Did you bring it? Okay. Let's read just a couple verses out of there. Song of Songs, chapter 1, starting with verse 6. And we'll read through verse 8.
Do not look at
me because I am black, because the sun had scorched me. My mother's sons were angry with me. They made me keeper of the vineyards, but my own vineyard I have not kept. Tell me, you whom my soul loves, where do you pasture your flock? Where do you make it lie down at noon? For why should I be like one who turns away
from beside the flocks of your companions? If you
yourself do not know, you fairest among women, go forth on the footsteps of the flock and pasture your young goats by the shepherd's tents. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, in this particular afternoon session, we want to cover this matter of the footsteps of the flock.
Amen.
And this footsteps of the flock are very practical. And as we get into the verses, some in the New Testament, we will begin to realize that what the Lord has done in attracting us, charming us,
Amen.
Right,
Amen.
Pursuing us,
Amen.
Is for this flock.
Right.
So all the previous messages are just building. You heard a lot this morning, last night, this morning, and this afternoon. All of these are for the Lord to bring us to a certain place.
Amen.
And this is to the one flock.
Amen.
Well, many of you, how many of you did not grow up in the church life? Raise your hand. Okay, a good number. Good. Then there's a lot of, vibrations in the Christian world tell us what the church is or isn't.
Right.
The church as a denomination is the place where you go and sit in a pew and listen to somebody, listen to a Christian rock band, listen to all kinds of things. But I think we're farther along than that, I hope, right? What is the church? The church is simply Christ enlarged. He's the body of Christ with the head has a body. He is the head. We, the church, are the body. But here in the Song of Songs, it's a very particular phrase that the Lord uses here. He says, you need, after you've been stirred up by the Lord to touch the Lord, you need to come and visit someplace. You need to come to the shepherd's tents. You need to follow, and the goal is by the shepherd's tents. You need to follow the footsteps of the flock. So we want to get into this just a little bit today. And I hope by the Lord's mercy, the Lord would cause us to realize that this matter is very practical for our experience today. Well, let's read a couple other verses while we're going. John 10, verse 16. Let's have all the brothers read it first, then the sisters. John 10, 16. Ready?
And I have other sheep, which are not of this fold. I must lead them also, and they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one flock, one shepherd.
Praise the Lord. Sisters.
And I have other sheep, which are not of this fold. I must lead them also. And they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one flock, one shepherd.
Some things are very striking in this verse. Brother Lee put this in the outline, you know, this verse in the outline. But keep track of, I must lead them, they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one flock, one shepherd. I will lead them, they will hear my voice. And there will be one flock, one shepherd.
Amen.
Now, I don't know about you, but I didn't come into the church when I first got saved. I was in the denominations, which from Brother Lee's sharing, we can see what are the denominations. They are the companions' flocks, right? The flock of the Lord's or the seeker's companions. The mother's sons. And the mother, what is the mother there? The mother is grace. We've all been saved by grace. By grace you've been saved, not of yourself, right? It's the gift of God. And this gift caused us to believe into Christ. And we became organically one with Christ and one with his body. However, I heard the gospel from a companion. And that companion had his own flock. And I came into that flock, and I joined myself to that flock, but I found out that flock didn't know where the pasture was. That flock actually was a fold. And in John 10:10, the Lord says, or John 10:9, he says, I am the door. If anyone enters through me. So I realized when that companion preached the gospel, I got saved, and I entered through Christ the door. But where did I enter? I entered into a fold. And a fold, you have to realize, is a place prepared for the sheep when it is wintertime, when there's no supply of grass, when the pastures are covered with something you can't, and you can't get to the grass. But when the winter is over and the spring came, then you need to be able to jump out of the fold and into the pasture land. But it took over 15 years from when I first entered the fold for the Lord to bring me out. But one day I heard that there was such a thing as a pasture. I was a fold Christian. I was just there. And in the fold, I was nibbling on hay and sometimes wood. And a lot of times, stubble. But once in a while, a piece of grass got in. And I don't know how it happened, but it encouraged me to go on. And so I left one fold and went to another fold. And I would have to say that Christ became my revolving door for a while, from fold to fold. I would go in one, get a little nibble, say, well, that was good, but I'm still hungry. I need more. I want more. So I went out. Then, what happened? One day, I discovered that the fold, you don't need it anymore. Why? Because there is a rich pasture. You know, in John chapter 10, the Lord likens himself to not only the door to bring the sheep in, but the door to bring them out to the pasture. And not only is he the door to bring them out, but he's the shepherd to lead them out.
Amen.
And then he also is the pasture where they feed on him.
Amen.
In the rich grass.
Amen.
The life-giving grass. Now, in the wintertime, there's no grass, but hallelujah, the winter's over, Christ died on the cross,
Amen.
He was resurrected, and his rich life is there for all of us to feed on.
Amen.
Well, here we are in the pasture. The Lord brought us out. He's the shepherd. And he told this lover of Christ, this lover, to follow him by the footsteps
Amen.
Of the flock.
Amen.
And the footsteps are all those faithful followers of the Lord Jesus who desire him only, that just have a heart for him, that just care for him alone. The companions cared for their flock. They cared to have a flock. They cared to be the head of the flock rather than giving themselves to the Lord for what he cared for. What does God want? God has an economy.
Amen.
The Lord Jesus Christ came to fulfill God's economy.
Amen.
So those, the ones that you follow need to be for God's economy. Right? Follow the footsteps of those who follow God's economy.
Amen.
Those who are for God's economy. You know, not too long ago in the churches, there were some who were in the church for a good number of years, yet, what happened? I think basically what happened is they became very content and they wanted to have a flock for themselves. And so they even led some people away from the Lord's recovery. And today, I hear reports all the time of what's happening with them. And the reports are not good, because the reports show me that they have gone back to the fold practices, where the food is really lacking and where all kinds of worldly situations come in. But today in the Lord's recovery, we are not stagnant. The Lord has been leading us from one green pasture to another, right? And the pasture keeps getting larger and larger. It expands. Every training, this pasture land expands. Well, let's take a look at a couple other verses. Let's turn to Acts 20, 28. How about everyone in the back row stand up and read it for us? Go.
Take heed to yourselves.
Amen.
And to all the flock, among whom the Holy Spirit has placed you as overseers.
Amen.
To shepherd the church of God, amen, which he obtained through his own blood.
Praise the Lord. This verse shows us how dear this flock is to God. Amen. It says that he shed his own blood for this flock, the church. How precious is the church to you? In God's economy, the church is very precious. We need to tell the Lord, Lord, I want to see the church as you see the church. And I want to follow the footsteps of the flock to bring me into this church, right? Bring me into the reality of this church. Well, how about another verse? 1 Peter 5:2. Let's turn to it. How about all the sisters in this section right here to my right? 1 Peter 5:2. Go. Amen. God. Amen. Amen. Then, brothers, verse 3.
Nor as lording it over your allotments, but by becoming patterns of the flock.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay. Well, you know, as saved ones, the Lord was very compassionate to us, and his love drew us. And we began to run after him. And when I was a young believer, I began to run after the Lord with some of my companions. But when I came to the church life, something happened. I came with 10 companions. But after about 2 or 3 months, there was only one left of my companions. They chose not to follow after the footsteps of the flock. And I was really disappointed. I thought, Lord, why is this? They love you. They were born of you. They were born of their mother, Grace, same as I. Why don't they love you? All I can say is, it's the Lord's mercy, the Lord's compassion. And the Lord, in his mercy and compassion, he has a goal for us. And this goal has all to do with the church. You know, when you talk about Christ with believers, generally there's no problem. When I talk to my friends about Christ, no problem. But as soon as the matter of the church comes along, all of a sudden there seems to be a little contention. They have a misunderstanding. They think that I'm trying to get them to my, quote, denomination. They don't see a revelation of the church there. But let's turn to Ephesians. Chapter 2. How about these brothers in the first row? Ephesians Ephesians chapter 2. And read verses 14 through 16. How about you, brother, stand up and read to the saints. Amen.
Amen.
Just go ahead and turn around and read to the saints. Amen.
For he himself is our peace.
Amen.
He who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition, the enemy, abolishing in his flesh the law of the commandments and ordinances.
Right.
That he might create it to in himself into one new man.
Amen.
So many peace.
Amen.
And might reconcile both in one body to God.
Amen. Okay, praise the Lord. So here in these verses, it talks about there was a partition, and in John 10, it says that there were two groups, Gentiles and the Jews. I have other sheep that are not of this fold yet that I want to bring in, and they shall be one flock with one shepherd. Here in Ephesians is a practical way that this happened. He says, and might reconcile both in one body to God. How? Having slain all the enmity by the cross. Making what? What does the verse say? Enmity by it. Okay, in the next verse. Oh, both in one body, having slain all the enmity, all the things that kept us from being one flock, the Lord took away at the cross. There is no reason for Christians to follow some other footsteps. When the Lord came, all those footsteps were abolished,
amen,
except His. And He's the chief shepherd. Peter says He's the chief shepherd. He's the one whose footsteps the flock is following. So if you follow Him, you will get on the right path and follow the footsteps of the flock that follow Him. Then to Peter, He said, Peter, you're a shepherd. And then Peter told us, brothers, you all need to be shepherds. Mm-hmm. Where? Leading people to Christ. Mm-hmm. Leading them to the right pasture, right? All the riches of the triune God. Mm-hmm. Well, when that happens, there will be some who disagree. There will be some who give us a hard time. But what is our responsibility? Our responsibility is just to follow. Follow the Lord, right? Follow the Lord with the church. And He brought us to this one flock. Well, in verse 15, He says He created the two in Himself into one new man, right? So we have the one body, and we also have the one new man. And then in verse 14, He said He broke down the middle wall, the enmity. Okay. So, this church is the one body of Christ. What is God's goal? Not just to have a physical church, something visible, like right here. You're all visible, right? Anybody not here? I mean, anybody here that's not visible? No. We're all visible. We're all physical. Yet, there is a spiritual reality called the body of Christ. And the Lord has brought us through this following, through our pursuing of Christ and His pursuing of us, to His one body.
Amen.
To make us members of this body, and this is a spiritual body. Now, you all sitting there, sometimes you look very spiritual, especially when you're singing. But right now, you don't look that spiritual. In fact, some of you look pretty tired. How many are tired? Right? If you're tired, you know what you need to contact? The life-giving Spirit.
Amen.
This life-giving Spirit will enliven you, right?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
How about this row of brothers? Stand up here, starting with you. This row of brothers, one by one, just say, Lord, I love you. Go.
Lord, I love you.
No, just one. Lord, I love you. Go.
Lord, I love you.
Amen.
Lord, I love
all together.
You.
You. Do it again. All right, do it again. Oh, use your spirit.
Amen. Lord.
Oh, try it again.
Lord.
That's right. Try it again.
Lord.
Lord. Go.
I love you.
Praise the Lord. Right away, something happens. Whenever you begin to say, Lord, I love you, something begins to lead you. Right away, what happens? You become a follower of the flock. Right? You call on the Lord's name. The Lord becomes so fresh, like a springtime. Praise the Lord. Then he brings us to his body, his organic body. He makes you a living member of the body of Christ.
Amen.
Well, once the Lord has compassion on us, he loves us, then he begins to show us his desire. What is his desire? Well, let's take a look at one other area in Luke chapter 10. Amen. Starting with verse 38. Before he did that, you know the story about the Good Samaritan? The Good Samaritan, of course, is the Lord Jesus. And he was talking to one of the religious Jews. Actually, he was probably a lawyer. And the lawyer asked him, what can I do to, you know, have good points with you? Basically, what he's saying. What can I do in my life to make it the best it can be? He says, love your neighbor. So then the Good Samaritan, that person said, well, who is my neighbor? He kind of wanted to argue with the Lord. And what happened? Well, the Lord came in, and the Lord told him a story. Okay, you want to talk about Samaritans? He said, there was a Samaritan who went down from Jerusalem, from the city of peace, down to Jericho, something despised, forsaken, and even, what, cursed by God. Jericho was a place cursed. But here was this man on a road, and he got beaten by robbers. And the robbers there are the law keepers, those that would strip you of any of your livelihood and leave you half dead. And all of the robbers there are just like religion. And then there was a Pharisee that came down and looked at that man lying there half dead, and he said, What is it? I can't help this guy. And he walked on. And a Sadducee came down, did the same thing. He walked on the other side of the road. I have no way. I'm not going to, you know, help this guy. Mm-hmm. Well, then the Good Samaritan came. A Samaritan is a despised one. He came down. And he brought this man some oil and wine, and he bound up his wounds. And the oil and wine just signify the spirit and the life.
Amen.
So he gave him what he needed. Man was going down to a despised place, but the Samaritan came and gave him life. Bound up his wounds, healed him. Then he put him on a donkey, not a great stallion, something fashionable, but just a donkey, and he brought him to a little inn. And he told that innkeeper, take care of him until I come. And he gave him 2 denarii, it says. He says, when I come, whatever more you have spent beyond this 2, I'll repay you. And then that Good Samaritan left, and the innkeeper took care of the man. Well, of course, the inn there is the church. All of us at one time or other, whether we were outside or inside of religion, we were on a road down to Jericho. And the Lord came, and what did he do? He poured oil and wine, and he bound us up, healed us. And then he brought us to the inn. And he told those in, the one in the inn, he said, you take care of them. Shepherd my sheep. Take care of them. Meet their needs. Feed them. And when I come back, I will repay you. And he gave them something to do it. He gave them 2 denarii. And that something there is a supply to the ones that have been brought to the inn. Saints, it's very practical to follow the footsteps of the flock. We need to be those that are shepherding others. When we're shepherding others, what happens? We get the Lord's supply. Something happens to us. We become different people. We're no longer concerned for our own situation, our own affairs, But we begin to get the supply of the Lord, and we take care of others. Then the very next parable is very interesting. It talks about a little house in Bethany. And this little house is a place of what? Suffering. And Lazarus is there, Mary and Martha. And these two women represent two kinds of service to the Lord. So once the Lord calls us to love Him, He wants us to serve Him in the church. Bethany is a little model of the church life. You know, when the Lord said, the flock, feed my lambs, shepherd my sheep, He brought them to the flock. And that flock is the little flock. Here in Bethany was just a miniature of the church life. It was a little flock. And here, this little flock was there, and everyone there is typified by one of us. Or we are typified by one of them, right? Here's Mary, and here's Martha. Martha was so busy doing things. Oh, what about the chairs? Let's set up the chairs. What about the food? Let's take care of the food. Let's see, where are they going to sleep? Oh, bunks. Oh, man, we got 20 more people than we thought we were going to have. What are we going to do about that? What about ushering? What about the parking? She was so concerned. In the Word, it says that she was anxious and troubled, right? About what? Okay. So the footnote there says something about she was just going every which way. She couldn't get anything done properly. And she started to complain to the Lord. Lord, what about Mary? What about Mary? What was Mary doing? Where was Mary? She was sitting there and doing something very troubling to Martha. Martha was complaining, but Mary was listening. What was Mary listening for? His desire, His purpose. She was there listening to the Lord, finding out what was on His heart. Saints, in the Lord's recovery, we also have these two kinds. You know, I serve with the ushering. At the back of every meeting, I get distracted all the time. There's so much to do. But the Lord always keeps calling me, Dan, are you listening? You can be busy, but are you listening? Or are you complaining because there's not enough help? Well, I've been caught in both situations. Sometimes I complain. But sometimes, by the Lord's mercy, I can sit at the Lord's feet. And I can say, Lord, what's on your heart? You know, I had an experience this last week. You know, we made all the people with blue badge a label on their badge. We made them stand on the corner, on the edge of the railing before they came upstairs. How many of you had to do that? A few of you did. Did you like it? No. Huh? You liked it? Pretty fun. Well, if I were there, I wouldn't like it. And one sister, you know, we brought up one row of these saints. There were so many of them that one night that we had to make another row, and they were in front of the ones who had been standing there longer. And this sister began to complain. She said, that's not fair. She said, why? They'll get to go before us. Right away, I could have said, sister, be quiet, get to the end of the line. You lost. No, but inside of me, there was a heart to help that sister see something. So I spoke something to her that did not condemn her, but it encouraged her. I said, sister, now is the practical time, and the Lord is calling you upward. You can sit higher than any place in that meeting hall. And it was just a word that the Lord gave that helped the sister bring her out of her physical situation, out of the complaining situation of Martha, and brought her to the Lord's feet. Then I noticed her a little bit later on, and she was singing with the saints in the line. She was just enjoying the Lord. She'd been released from all her serving without the Lord, without her complaining without the Lord, to a point where she began to enjoy the Lord and serve the Lord in her enjoyment. So here we have Mary. You know what Martha and Mary mean? Yes. Mary comes from Miriam. It means our rebellion or their rebellion. And Martha means something like the rebellious one. Well, both of these, how many are named Mary here? Come on, fess up. No? Not one? Wow. Praise the Lord. No rebellious ones here. But actually, we were all rebellious, right? But the Lord brought us. He saved us, right? He had mercy on us, and he brought us into his house, little house of Bethany, house that's not noticed by the world. In Judaism, there's a big temple, but here in Bethany, where the Lord Jesus is, it's a small house. Compared to the world, the church is small. How many billions of people in the world? How many are in the church? Well, the Lord brings us all into this situation where we can experience him by what? Listening to him. And he wants to tell us what's on his heart. Saints, so how do you follow the footsteps of the flock? Some went before us. Some went before us who were listening to the Lord at his feet. You know, a real practical way that I can follow the footsteps of the flock? Number one, I go to meetings. You know, going to meetings causes you to follow. It becomes the vehicle in which you can follow the Lord. Right? Another one is coming to the trainings like you did, coming to the conferences. All of these are things that cause you to be in a position to be at the Lord's feet. But then, once you're there, what do you do? You have to listen. You have to open your ears to the Lord. Lord, I don't want to listen to all the distracting things, but I want to listen to you. Lord, I want you to speak to me. What's on your heart? What was on the Lord's heart there? You know, in chapter 9, the Lord told the disciples, I have to go to Jerusalem. It says that he set his heart toward Jerusalem. In other words, the Lord was going to his death. And Mary was the only one who responded. The rest of the disciples, they argued about who was the greatest. Martha was argued about how come I don't have any help. But here was Mary sitting at the Lord's feet. And Mary was the one asking the Lord and pouring out for the Lord. She was going to be the one anointing him for his burial. She had heard before, and now here was another time where the Lord was unveiling his going to the cross. Why? Because he wanted to have an organic body. He set himself to Jerusalem. He wanted to have the church. So all the followers, we need to be these followers that follow closely. You know, in Revelation it says, these are they who follow the Lamb. And they follow closely to the shepherd's tents. By the shepherd's tents, right? Of course, the shepherd's tents are all the local churches. And in the local churches, there should be some Marys, right? There should be some who are just there, listening to the Lord, finding out what's on his heart, and then dispensing that into others. Well, saints, is it possible for you to be a Mary? You know, somewhat, it's easier to serve the physical church. Much easier to serve the physical church. But do we want to be satisfied with that? No. We want to be where the Lord is. Here was the Lord. You know, even in this training, the Lord was there. You know that? The Lord was there calling us to come and sit. Learn of me. Right? learn what we are. We're black. But what? Clothed with Solomon's clothing. We're somewhat even beautiful. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
The Lord looks at you and says, beautiful. Inwardly, I know I have some difficulties. There's some darkness. But the Lord came to justify me, right? And when he justified me, he put some clothing on me. Now God looks at me through this clothing of Christ. Christ becomes my clothing. I am justified with his righteousness. Then, after God looks at me this way, he says, now, are you going to follow me? Do you know, fairest among women? Do you know where I'm lodging? This lodging is in the churches. But in the churches, we need to be a certain kind of people. Go forth on the footsteps of the flock and pasture your young goats by the shepherd's tents. You know, in Timothy, it gives a warning. Paul's always telling Timothy, Timothy, closely follow my teaching, my conduct, my purpose, my faith, my long suffering. Follow me, Timothy. I'm a shepherd by the shepherd's tents, right? I'm the one, Timothy, who sits at the Lord's feet. Follow me, right? And then he says, whatever you've heard from me, get into them and commit them to others. And when you get into them, your profiting will be known by all. Why? Because you will be a person able to supply others. So, why are you in the church life? Not for your own benefit, not for your own satisfaction. You are in the church life for his satisfaction. And what does he want, saints? He wants us to become the shepherds, to lead others into this green pasture land, so that he can build up through all the riches of our intake. He can build up his one body, that he can have a glorious church and bride. And his body could be built up, even become the one new man. Well, this is the church today. This is the flock today. Are you practically in it?
Amen.
In the way that Mary is? Mary was listening to the Lord. And the Lord was speaking to this lover. Do you want to know how to go on? Follow the footsteps of the flock. We're following Brother Nee, and we're following Brother Lee, who followed others. And the Lord used them to bring us to where we are. Saints, we can be the same kind of followers. It's possible to be the Marys.
Amen.
It's possible to be the shepherds.
Amen.
What happens when we become these kind of shepherds? The church begins to be built up. Right? God's economy begins to be realized. And that pleases the Lord. That makes him very happy. You want to make the Lord's happy? The Lord happy? I want to make the Lord happy.
Amen.
So I need to shepherd some others. In your college this year, tell the Lord, Lord, I want to stay at your feet, that I can be filled with what's on your heart and your desire, that I can shepherd others into the church life. Others can follow me practically. I don't want them to follow me in the physical, outward things. Anybody can arrange chairs. But I want them to follow me in loving the Lord, becoming these lovers of Christ, right? That would pursue after him. Well, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. I think maybe Minoru would have some more to share.
You would ask a question, why we have to have this meeting on the flock that Brother Dan shared. The better question is should be posed to Solomon. Why, out of a sudden, almost like a parenthesis, except it is not, she would talk about this matter of the flock. Brother Lee told us that it is very, very interesting that in such a book of poetry, on this seeking one's pursuit of Christ, quite an individual experience. In the very beginning of it, this matter of the church, and not only of the church, listen, of denominations, were clearly indicated. Now, the denominations would not like our interpretation, for sure. We know that, right? But there is actually no other way you can interpret this. Brother Nee, Watchman Nee, might not have come out to say it in that way, but the implications are very clearly there if you read his Song of Songs. Why? Why? Okay, this is why. Because in God's design, God's economy, once a person has found the Lord in his or her spirit, right? This is the previous inner chamber, right? The inner chamber. Right after that, there is what? Just a kind of crying need in such a one to find out where the Lord's pasture is. You see my point? Especially to those who are not in the recovery, this is really the experience. I'm sure Dan, just now his testimony, he testified this, that if you are a worldly one, the world is fine. You don't care for church, denomination. You just show up once every Christmas, you know, for the Christmas Mass. That's good enough. They don't care. But those who got stirred up, you know, some who start reading Watchman Nee, that's what happened a lot in this country, and also today in Russia. And that helped them to know, I have a spirit. Christ is in me. They started, what? Seeking that, and have a measure of experience of that. Uh-huh, immediately the problem comes. Tell me, you whom my soul loves, in their prayer, where do you pasture your flock? Some would say, where are these people in this book called The Normal Christian Church Life? Right. A lot ask this question, right? Brother Nee's ministry, that book is out. So many who read that book are the seeking ones who found the Spirit to a certain measure. Then right away, they want something more. Everyone who touched the Spirit wants something more. Not just more of Christ, but where is Christ feeding? Where will Christ feed me? Yeah, it's good to have the inner chamber, but where is the pasture? You see? Then even for us in the church, you know, church kids, I would dare say, once you really touch your spirit, longs for the church life, automatically. That is a sign, a sure sign, you have found your spirit. You can check it yourself. If you have no taste for the church life, you don't care less about the church meetings, you have no heart, I can tell you, I will tell you already, I got your case diagnosed. You are not in your spirit. You have not found your spirit. You don't have any kind of seeking life with the Lord. I can guarantee you. But suddenly I saw some of the young people desiring for the meeting. They can't miss a meeting. Even the study is so hard. They want this. I say, this person have just touched the Lord in their spirit. I know it. I know it. Because the inner chamber directs us to the pasture. This is according to experience. Now, I like to just tell you, as Dan has shared somewhat, the three church figures in this portion. There are three figures of three kinds of church in this portion. Okay? If you get this, you're clear about the church. In Brother Lee's word, you got the church discerned. Number one,
It is what? It is the flocks, plural. Flocks, plural. That is in verse 7.
Why should I be one like one who turns away from beside the flocks of your companions? Now, you all know what this is, right? After this training, do you? Huh? Titus, what is this? What are these flocks here?
The other Christian groups?
Well, the companions are Christ's friends. These are people who are very close to Christ. For example, these spiritual persons in church history. Yet, they were so close to Christ, the issue of their, quote, their ministry was not the proper church, but their own flock. And today, we have so many denominations who were founded by friends of Christ. Right? I would even say the Methodist Church, Wesley, the Wesley brothers, aren't they something? Aren't they something? Today, I tell you, you need to sing the Wesley hymns, especially Charles Wesley. I couldn't believe this man. In some ways, I think he is on par with his brother. A lot of people appreciate John Wesley, but I tell you, you read Charles Wesley hymns. Without the hymns, Methodism would not have spread so much. Do you know Charles Wesley's hymns? Huh? Some of them, right? It's amazing. Okay, my point is, these are Christ's companions. Yet, they did not lead the people to the proper church. Instead, they formed their own flock. Today, it becomes the Methodist Church. Brother Lee mentioned Hudson Taylor, who formed the China Inland Mission. Now it's called the Overseas Christian Fellowship. That is not even a church, that is a parachurch. Anyway, it's a flock that kept certain of his followers. The same thing with A.B. Simpson, the most spiritual man in recent history in the United States. He's an American who formed the Christian Missionary Alliance Church. That is another flock. So you have today flock after flock, what? That belong are the flocks of these companions of Christ. So in principle here, all these flocks are the various groups and denominations. This is the first kind of church you have to be clear about. Should you be in them? We were once in them, some of us, right? But we were not pastors. We don't feel shepherded. We were looking and hungry for the Lord's church. Whereas now, then the second figure is in verse 8. Go forth on the footsteps of the flock. Okay? This flock here, the flock, is the proper church of God. Now, yet it has two senses. Two sense. The first sense is this church in history, from Pentecost day until today. There is a proper church that is according to the New Testament teaching of the apostles. All right? There is such a church. And many seekers of Christ were on that line. And we are told to follow their footsteps. So young people, by the way, I really, really encourage you, and I don't see it that much, that you need to read biographies. Many of our young people in the church are very short in biographies. If you read the biographies of the proper ones, you will know the footstep of the flock. For example, Brother Lee quoted in this training very much J.N. Darby. Oh, the joy. That one? Huh? Of what? Having nothing and being nothing, right? And seeing nothing. Huh? But the Christ of glory, right?
What? Okay, whatever it is, I think. I will tell you, there is JND's biography available. In the front page is his picture. You know, the brethren are very, very strong on being unworldly, to the point that they have very little pictures taken of them. They consider picture taking worldly. So this is one of the few pictures of Dan Darby in the front of this book. In the below the caption is this very same. I was mentioning to Dan, I got a burden to set this saying to a tune. J.N. Darby speaking this saying to a tune. How about that? Maybe some of you can help. An original tune to set this to. Very, very touching. I tell you, to know his life is to follow the footstep of the flock. As an example. Okay. Now, Brother Nee was an expert in following the footsteps of the flock. So he gleaned from the church history all the positive things that God has deposited with his people. And by that, what? He took the lead to follow the footsteps of the flock to have the proper church experience. Today in the Lord's recovery, we are following our brother. Right? Because of all the work that he has done, standing on the shoulders of so many in the past, we are walking in what? In the way of the proper church according to the New Testament teaching of the apostles. All right? This is one sense. The second sense of the proper church is the church today in the Lord's recovery. That is what? That is not just your local church, not just the church in Irvine, or the church here, the church there, but the one church. Amen. We need to follow the footsteps of this one church. You know, twice a year, we come here, you know, to do what? To Anaheim? To find out the footsteps of the flock. Amen. Right now, the footsteps are on Song of Songs. If you are on this Song of Songs, you are pursuing the footsteps, right? The high peak of the divine revelation, so on and so forth. All this. So we want to make sure that we are following the footsteps of the proper church, to be in the proper church. All right? The third figure, you tell me, you guess, what is the third figure? Right, the shepherd's tents. What church is this? This is the local church that you're in. You see, it is in plural, shepherd's tents, where you feed your young goats, where you shepherd the young lambs. I will tell you where my tent is. You want to know? The church in Irvine is my tent. Hallelujah. I'm quite happy I have a tent. Where's your tent?
Church in Berkeley.
Wonderful. Anyone here who doesn't have a tent? If you don't, you better find one quick. Sister, where's your tent? Yeah. San Bernardino. Praise the Lord. Right? Where are you, sister?
Cyprus.
Okay. I tell you, these are our little tents. Not only the place where we enjoy the pasture, but a very practical place to take care of the members of Christ. Amen. By bringing the young, right, and taking care of them by those tents. All right, so to kind of conclude there, how do you know the church? You have to know the church in these three aspects. Number one, the wrong church. That is what? The denomination. You should not be there. We should come out of that. Winter is over. Come out of it. Come to the pasture. Two, the proper universal church of God. The body of Christ. Right? And number three,
you need to know, be practical to be in your local church, right? To be in your local church, to shepherd the members of the body there. And by doing this, we are what? We are fulfilling God's desire. Don't you feel something that in this poetry book, even this matter is made so clear to us? Now, I just have one word. Practically, Dan have started to share here, how to practically follow the footsteps of the flock for you young people. How to do that? I would say, here it does not say follow the Lord. It says to follow what? The footsteps of the flock. In other words, you find the flock by the footsteps. You trace the footsteps, and you are what? You are with the flock. And surely the flock has a shepherd, right? And so by following the flock, you are actually under the guidance of the shepherd. All right, I would put it this way. Number one, to follow the footsteps of the flock, we have to follow the church according to the New Testament teaching of the apostles. Someone come here and say, what? Let's talk about something that is not God's economy. Will you follow that?
No.
To follow that is actually not to follow the footsteps of the flock, because the original flock were under the apostles' teaching.
Amen.
And the apostles taught nothing but God's New Testament economy. So never stray from God's New Testament economy. That is the footstep of the flock, practically. Are you clear about this? So someone comes and say, let's what? Let's speak in tongues. How about that? Anything wrong with speaking in tongues? In a way, nothing wrong. Paul spoke in tongues. But you have to check. Is this speaking in tongues? According to God's New Testament economy. You have to be clear. So Paul says, tell them to teach nothing else but God's New Testament economy. This is our way. And today our brother is following that. That's why we follow him. Because he is following the apostles. And the apostles follow the Lord.
Amen.
That is the chief shepherd. That's number one. I would say that number two, you have to what? Follow the churches. The churches. To be saved, I tell you, it's good to follow the churches. Don't be a unique church. Somebody say, you know, every church should be unique. The more unique, the better. Eventually, you found in Revelation 7 churches, all the unique ones, they're surely unique, each one of them. And all the unique points are all negative. Whereas all the common points are all the same. I tell you, the church positively are all identical, the churches. Negatively, they're all unique. Which one do you want? I actually even have a word for the brothers. Don't try to be unique. You know, I know, I've been in your shoes. Oh, I like to be spiritual and I like to be unique. I boasted for a long time in the Lord's recovery, there's only one Minoru. It's such a weird name, you know? Such a strange name. Nobody has this name. How unique I am. Until one day I found out there's two.
There's one in Houston. I was quite devastated. I lost my uniqueness. It is not patent anymore. This menorah is not patented anymore. Someone got used my name. Don't be like this. I tell you, the safeguard is to be the same, is to follow. Follow the churches. Follow the brothers. Don't be original. Don't have original flavors. Yeah, I mean it. Everyone wears a tie. I won't. I'm not one of those white shirters. I'm the kind that is... I'm this kind of brother. Everyone is clean-shaven. See? Clean-shaven. No. I must grow a 5-day beard. Anything wrong with growing beard? The Bible says you should not have a beard. Probably Jesus had one. What's wrong with my beard? I just don't like to be clean-shaven. It's too conformist here. This is a church life is a conformist culture. This is even against the American way. Unique. The rugged individualist. Every cowboy has a different buckle, different boot. Not one is the same. Wouldn't that be wonderful? How about that kind of Christian? Wouldn't that be colorful? There are 12 kinds of stones, after all, in New Jerusalem. It's not just one kind. I tell you, I ran into this all the time. I laugh. I said, you don't know what you're doing. I tell you, you don't have to try to be unique. You're too unique already. You need those unique things to cross out. All right, okay. Here's another point. How to follow the footstep of the flock. How? I tell you, follow the older saints in the church. Yeah. Young people, I give you a word of love. Last night, remember Brother Gerald say he used to despise the older saints? Don't despise the older saints. Follow the pattern, the mature ones, the what? Experienced ones. By following them, you will be protected. Right? Young people, it's so easy to be proud. Be humble and follow. Okay? Well, I just mentioned these few things. But my concluding point is this. Brothers and sisters, right as we are following the Lord, pursuing Him, fellowshipping with Him, you must get yourself into the church life. You must not become a private Christian in that kind of a way. The more you are private, the more you should be in the church. The more you're personal, you should be the more corporate, if you know what I mean. Sounds contradictory, right? But actually, it's not. The more you seek after Christ, the more you will long for the place where He will shepherd. And the more you take care of what you're seeking, the more you would want to shepherd others. This is just how it is, right? This is to be in what? To follow the footsteps of the flock. Are you clear?
Amen.
Are you clear about this?
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Brother Lee was very burdened about this point. You know, after we passed through three messages later, after this one,
Brother Lee popped a question to the brothers before the meeting. He said, did the young people get that point on the church, on message two? He was concerned that you did not get this whole matter of the denomination, the church life, and so forth. So I hope that you got it, at least now, right? Okay, well, we still have a few minutes here. How about you share something? You may share something of this, or you may share something of your experience this afternoon with the Lord. All right. I went around just to check you out. I was walking around with Dan, but I was looking at you. I would say still too many of you are too silent. Too silent. Too much silent. You do need to practice to open your mouth. Open your mouth. I don't mean you yell and scream. There are others around. But you have to be audible. Be audible, right? Because that has to do with the release of your spirit. And when the spirit is not released, the mind takes over. So I just want to say that word. Open your mouth more. Open your mouth more. Sing or pray or read, whatever. Open your mouth more. Okay, how about you have some fellowship? Share something.